Consumers are shopping early for deals this holiday season. That's why you need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code Howie3 at checkout.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Happy Wednesday. You are halfway through, and I thank you so much for joining us. We're thrilled to be here, as always, and we have some major updates for you. Obviously, the runoff has ended in a way that none of us wanted to see it end. Warnock is going to get that Senate seat in Georgia. I'm not shocked by that, especially given the results of the midterms, but we can talk about it a little bit later. I just wanted to give you that headline in case you hadn't heard it yet. As far as what I want to focus on in this opening today, it's another chapter that has been released of the Twitter files. I'm starting to think we're going to have to come up with a theme song, Jared, for the Twitter files. Something a little spooky, a little sinister that we could play whenever we have a new part of this saga. Well, Twitter has fired Deputy General Counsel James Baker, or former FBI General Counsel James Baker. He was the former FBI General Counsel, and then he was the Deputy General Counsel for Twitter. Now, I'm going to be reading a lot in this opening from two articles. So I just want to give credit right off the bat because they're kind of all mixed together here in this opening. Miranda Devine and Victor Neva, both from the New York Post, are covering this. So Elon Musk, as I mentioned, he fired Twitter's Deputy General Counsel, James Baker. Now, if you're familiar with who James Baker is, then you know that the fact that he was even a Twitter employee, at least in my mind, is kind of nutty. And Musk's tweet yesterday was this. He said, in light of concerns about Baker's possible role in suppression of information important to the public dialogue, he was exited from Twitter today. Now, some people are a little bit confused as to how Musk couldn't have known more about this until this week. The new Twitter CEO did also add that before he gave Baker the axe, he asked him about his alleged involvement in suppressing the laptop scandal, which is really the focal point. It's not the only part of this suppression, this political bias from Twitter, but it's a huge part of it. And according to Musk, Baker's explanation was, and I'm using quotes here, unconvincing. So what's funny is on Monday, I was reading from Miranda Devine's piece, which I'm still going to reference a lot, and I was focused on the FBI and the role they played. And Howie did his show, and I can always tell, I'm always happy if Howie does his show and it's, you know, going a similar path in the beginning, because I know that that's the big story. Howie was also focused on the FBI. Because it seemed like between Zuckerberg's old interview, and I know he's Facebook, but he did this old interview with Joe Rogan from August where he admitted that they were warned about hacked material. He stopped short of saying specifically Hunter Biden because he couldn't recall. But as I pointed out on Monday, Zuckerberg's not the kind of guy who forgets things. And I don't think Dr. Fauci is either. The whole I don't recall thing doesn't work for them. Now, Yoel Roth's declaration, Yoel Roth, formerly of Twitter, he just left a few days ago. He said he was told in meetings that the intelligence community expected that individuals associated with political campaigns would be subject to hacking attacks. And then later, he actually confirmed that there were rumors that a hack and leak operation would involve Hunter Biden. So it seemed obvious that there was some correlation here with the FBI. And then Miranda Devine also explained that because the FBI had access, they were spying on Rudy Giuliani's online iCloud, that she had messages with him about the story dropping in October. So that's kind of how they were able to warn everyone, allegedly, there could be something about Hunter Biden, because they're reading messages about how the New York Post has this major scoop. So Matt Taibbi tweets yesterday, after we're all kind of thinking to ourselves, well, the FBI's fingerprints are all over this mess. But in Taibbi's original tweets, he's the reporter who Musk gave this to. In his original Twitter file, you know, thread, there was little to no mention of government involvement in the suppression of the Hunter Biden laptop scandal. It seemed like this unsaid thing. It was the elephant in the room. A lot of prominent conservatives were pointing that out. So Matt Taibbi tweets yesterday, on Friday, the first installment of the Twitter files was published here. We expected to publish more over the weekend, and a lot of people were wondering why there was a delay. Now we can tell you. On Tuesday, Twitter Deputy General Counsel and former FBI General Counsel Jim Baker was fired. Among the reasons, vetting the first batch of Twitter files without knowledge of new management. So the guy who has ties to the Russia hoax, the Alpha Bank nonsense, Michael Sussman, he's vetting the Twitter files about censorship of the Hunter Biden laptop. Now, I guess when Barry Weiss figured out who it was, who was sending them all this information, you know, her jaw dropped when she found out it was Jim Baker. So here's the quote from Taibbi. He says Baker has been something of a zealot of FBI controversies dating back to 2016. From the Steele dossier to the Alpha server mess, he resigned in 2018 after an investigation into leaks to the press. Now, joining us to discuss this zealot, this enigma that is James Baker, is someone who's very familiar with him and has been writing about him for a long time. That would be Howie Carr. Howie, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Grace.
Now, Howie, let's start and go slow here, because I'll tell you right now, I know this stuff is in your Rolodex. For a lot of us, it's a little bit harder to follow. But let's start with the Steele dossier. Let's paint a picture for us about who this James Baker is and how far back these connections go.
Well, he's the general counsel under Comey. So he's like sitting at, you know, his right hand. He's right at one of the top FBI guys. And, he's disappeared. He's under his watch. Things have disappeared in the past. And just to cite one example, all the Page and Strzok texts back and forth about, you know, the lovebirds, and they're talking about Trump's an idiot. They can smell him. They've got an insurance policy to stop Trump. Strzok is a very good friend of James Baker. And as James Baker was the deputy counsel to the FBI claimed that all of the text messages between Strzok and Page had been lost. They've been lost. There was a misconfiguration issue that occurred while the Bureau was rolling out new software updates for Samsung 5 devices. I'm reading that from Reuters.
Oh, a misconfiguration. This is starting to sound like a glitch, or like when the FBI lost all the records for Hunter Biden. What is up with these glitches?
Right, or the Secret Service lost all the records
for Hunter Biden.
Sorry, most recently.
This is
a new word. It's an old word, but we just brought it back today. Misconfiguration issue. So the attorney, the IG, Michael Horowitz, discovered all the damning emails from Baker's good buddies that had been misconfigured, and they were brought back to life. But then let's move on. So Baker is forced out, and he goes to work for Twitter and is making the big bucks. And then another one of his dearest friends, Michael Sussman, who was Hillary Clinton's lawyer, Sussman was in charge of promoting the Alpha Bank hoax. But remember the Russian the Russian computer through the oligarchs had a computer that was communicating with a computer that belonged to Donald Trump on Fifth Avenue in Trump Tower.
And they basically rigged it to look like there was a connection between the two, but it was all kind
and
of
it was like name. it was like a spam. Do you ever get a spam on your computer? That's what Trump was getting, right? And they were saying it was Russian disinformation. So Sussman was trying to sell this to his dear buddy Baker and said I'm coming over, I have some stuff, and I'm not acting as a lawyer, I'm trying to help out the federal government and the FBI, so I'm bringing some stuff over. And so then Sussman was asked about it, and he lied to federal agents, which is a felony. Okay, so they indict Sussman, and then Baker, and then they write in the indictment, we think he did this and that. And then after he's indicted, Baker, suddenly it's discovered that on Baker's FBI phone, there's a message from Sussman that says a smoking gun. It's in black and white that he's saying I'm not working for Hillary Clinton. This isn't a dirty tricks a special op against Donald Trump. I'm working for the good of the country, which he had lied about. So they asked it. They asked Baker. They said, "We questioned you. Why didn't you tell us you had this text message? Why didn't you?" I'm reading now from the actual story about the trial from the New York Post from from May of this year. They asked him why he didn't give it out. Michael's a friend. It didn't really freak me out. Baker testified that he didn't turn over the text message, the smoking gun, to special counsel John Durham following Sussman's indictment because no one asked him for it. No one asked him for it. It's frankly, this quote, "It's frankly, I'm not out to get Michael, and this is not my investigation. This is your investigation," he told Durham's guy.
You know, Howie, if you were writing a movie, okay, and you gave me this script, and you said, all right, now I'm going to have this guy, James Baker, and he's going to be, you know, an ex-FBI guy. We'll put him at Twitter. I would say, that's so obvious. Like, there's not even any dots to connect. It's too in your face. It doesn't, believe this.
This guy's too slimy. You got to give him, put a few more dimensions into his character, other than just being this evil slime bag who will just do anything to destroy the United States of America.
It is funny, though, Howie, because when we were both talking about this earlier this week, it was just this, it was this weird elephant in the room where you had these people, Yoel Roth, you had Mark Zuckerberg, who's obviously Facebook, not Twitter, but kind of saying, yeah, well, we were getting warnings from the FBI, and, you know, some people were stopping short of saying about Hunter Biden. But then you read the Twitter files and you're going, well, where's the FBI in all this? There's got to be some internal communications.
Well, one thing that Taibbi did get in there, and I mentioned in my column on Sunday, he said, everyone's mentioned it, they go to Baker and Baker says caution is warranted. This is in October of 2020. Now, he knows. He's got to know because he was like the number three guy, number three guy in the FBI, number four guy in the FBI. He had to know that they picked up this laptop a year earlier.
Right.
A year earlier. And he says caution is warranted because this could be FBI. This could be Russian disinformation.
This could be hacked.
He knew that was a lie. He had to know it was a lie.
And you know what, Howie? It's all they needed at Twitter. All of those people on the higher-ups going back and forth,
It was
debating.
A wink and a nudge.
That's all they needed. They needed to know that, there's a possibility this could be hacked material. And then when the other slimy people come out and say it has all the earmarks of Russian disinformation, it's like, listen, this is a done deal. We can run with this now.
And again, Grace, I think we've been over this before, but how did they know that there was going to be that this information was going to come out? Because they were surveilling Rudy Giuliani's phone on that phony baloney investigation, which they dropped last month, 2 days after the midterms ended, because there was nothing to it. It was a FARA investigation, Foreign Agent Registration Act, which, wasn't Hunter Biden a foreign agent? Weren't the Podesta brothers foreign agents? Oh, that's right. They were Democrats.
But you're right, Howie. If someone came to you and said, I've got a feeling that someone's got a huge scoop on Grace Curley and you should just be aware of it, wouldn't you say, like, well, where's this feeling coming from? Like, no offense to the FBI, but any of their instincts haven't been that great over the past couple years. So if I'm hearing that from them, I'm saying, well, you obviously know that something's about to come out. This isn't just like a hunch you have. Like, you're some sort of political Svengali.
Exactly. But again, they didn't want to know the answer. You know, never ask a question you don't want to know the answer to. And we should do something. The FBI told us to do this. And Zuckerberg just did it with Rogan. I mean, he was basically just using the excuse that the FBI had presented him with. Well, you know, we listen to the FBI because it is the world's premier law enforcement agency. Ha, 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 ha.
And that, to me, was one of the biggest giveaways was when Rogan was smart to ask, did they tell you specifically about Hunter Biden? He stopped short. No, I don't remember if it was specifically about Hunter Biden. And I thought, Zuckerberg, like Dr. Fauci, they don't forget a lot. You know, they don't forget these conversations. They might not be my favorite people, but they're smart.
He went all folksy.
Oh, they spoke to some of our folks.
Yeah. On the team. There's certain giveaways where you go, hold on a second, something doesn't smell right here. Howie, we got to end it here, but I really appreciate you coming on early today just to give everyone this rundown. It's hard to follow this for a lot of people out there, but I actually think in this case with James Baker, it's pretty obvious right off the bat what's going on here. Howie Carr.
If he had told them about the text message, they would have written the text message into the indictment, and it would have been harder for the corrupt D.C. jury of Democrats to acquit Sussman. I mean, maybe not impossible, but it would have been more difficult.
Hey, but he's his friend, Howie. This is what friends do for one another.
Michael's a friend. It didn't really freak me out.
All right, Howie Carr, we really appreciate it. We are going to come back with all your calls on this. It's 844-500-4242. The Twitter file's taking another turn. It's just getting juicier and more interesting as it goes, and I would love to hear from you on this. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley lives her life by a strict set of rules.
Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face. And that's it!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
It was pretty obvious that the Twitter files that had just been released were missing a crucial element, and that was the FBI. So, you know, we surmised that somehow Elon Musk had redacted it or someone had withheld the information about the FBI's.
That was Miranda Devine on with Tucker Carlson on Fox News, and she isn't letting this one go either, which is great. She wrote back to Matt Taibbi and basically said, this explanation doesn't cut it. We're going to need to know a lot more. And so basically what was happening was James Baker was sending Barry Weiss and Matt Taibbi the Twitter files that they were then, you know, condensing and putting out on a thread for people to consume. But he was getting first dibs. And if you're a former FBI guy, and you get to go through all of these files and decide what makes the cut, you think you have any skin in the game? You think, you know, you have all these friends. You have all these former friends who have gotten in trouble. You think maybe you try to cover? He seems like a very loyal guy in a lot of senses. And it makes perfect sense to me that he would maybe not be the best editor in this case. So this is Durham team reveals damning text message from Clinton lawyer Michael Sussman to FBI. Howie was just discussing this, but I want to just reemphasize it because it's pretty amazing. You know, we talk about how it's a small world. You know, that's one of my favorite songs to play on this show. And when it comes to the FBI, it's a tiny world. The corruption and the back scratching that is going on at the FBI is unbelievable. The message revealed in court Wednesday, now this is obviously an older article, was sent by Sussman to then FBI General Counsel James Baker. Jim, it's Michael Sussman. I have something time sensitive I need to discuss. He asked him if he has availability for a meeting. Baker said he agreed to meet with Sussman at FBI headquarters the next day when Sussman handed over information that allegedly showed a secret back channel between Trump's organization and their computer server in Russia's Alpha Bank. Now, this has been debunked. I like to call it BS, how we just described it as spam. It was all made up. It was a made up way to allow for the Russia hoax to really be born, in essence. So Sussman is charged with lying to the government. We know that in D.C. he got away with it. But Baker testified that he was a bit surprised Sussman had his cell phone number before adding, but Michael's a friend. It didn't really freak me out. It freaks me out that this guy was in so much control at Twitter. We'll be right back with more.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. The number, if you want to chime in, is 844-500-4242. We are talking about the FBI, the deep state, censorship, Twitter, Matt Taibbi, you name it. We got it. We're going to have to make one of Howie's old, you know, gangster family tree type things for this because the FBI and big tech, man, They are just intermingled. It's one big, corrupt, happy family. Just taking a quick pause from this, global unrest is battering the food supply chain and the energy markets, and it's incumbent on you to be prepared. And you can get ready with ReadyWise. Go to ReadyWise.com, use code GRACE15 to get 15% off your next purchase. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Speaking of full transparency, the beaches in Nantucket and the Attorney General have approved topless beaches in Nantucket. So the poll question is, would you be comfortable going to a topless beach? Not going topless to a beach, going to a topless beach.
Yes, I would be.
63% of the audience is comfortable with it. 38% are a little more
skeptical.
Puritan, shall we say.
A little more buttoned up. And that's okay. That's okay. I will say this, though. When I was younger, I was on a family vacation. And I can't remember where we were. It might have been like Dominican Republic or something. And we were on the beach. And there was a bride and groom. And they were getting married on the beach. We weren't going to this wedding. We were just observing it. And they had their aisle set up walking down the beach. And I just want to warn, you know, people who are getting married. There's a lot of, you know, you pick the place you want to pick, and that's wonderful. You should sometimes consider how many elements here can go wrong. And that's a really good thing about a church, is that rain, shine, you know, you've got a building, you've got a structure, you've got some sort of organization to it. It's a little bit less all up in the air. With that being said, so they're walking down, right, Jared? They're walking down the beach. She's walking down the aisle. And there was a woman, probably 65 years old, butt naked, not attending the wedding, not in the wedding, but who's positioned herself with a giant drink in her hand, like one of those giant pina coladas with the umbrella in it, butt naked, positioned herself basically next to the officiant. So in all of their photos, and I didn't even think of this at the time, I was so young.
Oh, that's going to sound wonky.
I wasn't considering like wedding photos and all that stuff. But now that I'm older, I'm thinking in all of their photos, this naked onlooker is going to be basically right next to them. She's a part of the wedding at this point. And so that was really my only experience as a kid with like a nude beach. And I thought, this is no good. But no, would I feel uncomfortable? No, I wouldn't feel uncomfortable. I wouldn't go topless, but I don't think it would bother me. You know, though, if I had to choose a beach and one was topless, one wasn't, I'd probably choose the not. I'd probably just go in the safe zone. What about you? Does it make you uncomfortable, Jared? Am I allowed to ask you that? Am I going to get in trouble?
I don't know. There may be some microaggressions happening here. No, I would not have a problem with it, but I agree with you. Given the choice, I'm not a beach guy anyway. Given the choice, I would probably go to the not topless beach.
But that's a warning for anyone getting married on a beach. Like, definitely make sure you know what the beach is all about, because that could really throw you off walking down the aisle. 844-500-4242. Okay, so back to, that was a fun little side note, which we'll be able to take every hour. Back to the James Baker of it all. I've seen him called James and Jim, so you can call him whatever you want. But he has been fired from Twitter by Elon Musk. Now, Elon Musk, for his part, is very much playing the I knew nothing card, which could be true. But as Miranda Devine pointed out, like, all right, just give us all the information. I don't even understand. And maybe it's beyond, you know, my skill set. And I'm sure there's information on there. They have to kind of make sure they're not just throwing everything out there. There could be private personal information. But for the most part, it seems like you could really just give us the trove of emails, give us the trove of internal communications, and let these real reporters, there's a handful of them left. You know, you got Glenn Greenwald, you got Barry Weiss, you got Matt Taibbi. They could go through this and figure it out. But to have James Baker, formerly of the FBI, weeding through and deciding what gets to make it to air and what doesn't is ridiculous. Now, I want to read you, and Howie mentioned this as well, but this is what James Baker was sending. So he published an email from Baker pushing the false narrative that censoring their report was justified under the company's hacked materials policy. So basically what was happening at Twitter is everyone's going back and forth saying, like, can we censor this? Give us, please, give us anything. Give us anything we can cling on to. Give us a branch, and we will swing from it. We just need to know that we can have some sort of excuse, some backup plan, when we get inundated with complaints, which they did. And in fact, actually, one of the complaints they got, which we'll get to a little bit later, was Representative Ro Khanna, who's a Democrat. And Ro Khanna sent them an email blasting them for this decision. It gives me a lot more respect for this Democrat, but there wasn't a lot of Democrats who were doing that. So this is what Baker wrote. I support the conclusion that we need more facts to assess whether the materials were hacked. I bet you do. I bet you do support that conclusion. At this stage, however, it is reasonable for us to assume that there may have been and that the caution is warranted. You know, I don't even need to know that this dude was formerly working for the FBI. I can just tell by the way he writes things. It's giving, we don't want to jeopardize the ongoing investigation. That's what all of this is translating to in my mind. There are some facts that indicate the materials may have been hacked. You know, this is the point where I would like to have someone write back to him and say, hey, Baker, why don't you tell us what those facts are? If there are some facts that are indicating the material may have been hacked, then tell us what those facts are. While there are others indicating that the computer was either abandoned and or the owner consented to allow the repair shop to access it for at least some purposes, we simply need more information. Information is power. He didn't say that part. That was me. But, you know. Knowledge is power. We just need to know more. You know, is it safe to assume that as more of this comes out and we see the connection with the FBI, that the walls are closing in on these intelligence agents? That maybe the noose is tightening? That maybe the mask has finally dropped? Jordan, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hey, Grace, how are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Oh, yeah. I was going to tell you that Twitter is a legal entity now. You can actually file lawsuits and post notices on Twitter since it's like an email address. So, yeah, I think they should be publicized, you know, so that people can know what's going on with their government and with their private citizens that they have legal problems with. I think, you know, that would be a good thing to do.
Yeah, and you know what? Ro Khanna was actually saying on CNN, and, you know, I it's just, it's so rare that you see this from a Democrat, but was basically saying, yeah, it's a private company, but in effect, it's the public town square. And censoring things is not the right thing to do. And it does affect elections. It does, you know, tip the scales in one direction. And on that front, I completely understand why Trump is still rip bleep. Because I would be too. You know, you have this major story. And something Howie said yesterday, I know, I'm sorry, I keep referencing this, but he's really the FBI guy in all these situations, that I think he read from The Federalist, is it wouldn't matter so much, censorship from this private company. It wouldn't matter so much if we had real journalists, but we don't. And that's sad. That should make everybody sad. Like, for a long time, journalists were what kept us abreast of this kind of corruption, of this kind of duplicity and deceitfulness, and they don't anymore. They're part of it. They're a willing participant. And I had mentioned earlier this week, I said, you know, when you look back at Watergate, when you look back at these big scandals, reporters wanted the scoop. They wanted to break news. They wanted to be part of it. And when I think back at all of the big stories that have come out about Democrats, and Hunter Biden being a huge one, the lack of interest and the willingness to go along with the suppression is damning for the media. This is their job. They're supposed to be the ones telling us this. And what they're doing, in essence, is the opposite. They're trying to get rid of this information. They're trying to stop you from seeing it. They are a major player here. They are a bad actor in this scenario. Let's play a little bit of Representative Ro Khanna on with CNN's Aaron Burnett. I want to play cut two, please.
Aaron, what surprised me is that Twitter made the decision in the first place to censor. Look, liberal Democrats should be for the principle of standing up for First Amendment speech. And New York Times Sullivan said, We want speech to be open, uninhibited, wide-ranging. Now, I get Twitter's a private actor, but they're effectively a modern public square. And it was disappointing to me that they were suppressing the New York Post.
Yeah, and you know the key word he just uses is liberal, because when I started writing for Spectator, I would describe sometimes far-left progressives like AOC. I would use the term liberal. I would say, oh, they're liberals, they're liberals. And my editor, who's far more centered than I am, would say to me, you know, it drives people crazy at the Spectator when you use that term to describe people who are so the opposite of liberal. Trying to suppress free speech, trying to suppress real journalism is not liberal. And Don Lemon the other day said, I don't think CNN's liberal. I don't think it is either, because liberal means you're open to other people's opinions. You might not like them, but you're open to them. This is not liberal what's happening here. Let's play another Ro Khanna. This is cut three.
And based on the communications that we have that were released, you are the only Democratic lawmaker who said that. You spoke up. You told Twitter to reconsider it. You said you didn't think it was right. You stood up for the First Amendment. Your email was thoughtful and definitive. Are you disappointed that you're the only one?
Well, look, we've all written emails, and I'm glad that they released that one. I'm sure I've written things that aren't as thoughtful. But when I read it, I said, I stand by every word. I mean, I got into politics partly because I believe American democracy is great when we have everyone have a voice to stand up and participate in speech. And I do hope more Democrats will stand up for the broader principle, which is we want to be have forums that don't have censorship, that allow for all perspectives.
Yeah, I would tell Ro Khanna, do not hold your breath on that front. Because liberals, if and I shouldn't use that term, progressives, Democrats, they, if they were ever going to have that come to Jesus, if they were going to have a mea culpa, they would have had it by now. They're so far into this. And I think the dangerous part, and I'm going to talk to David Harsanyi about it, is that the dangerous part, let me just read you one thing David Harsanyi wrote at the end of his piece that's titled Why Elon Musk's Twitter Files Matter. He said, I have no clue if the Hunter story would have turned the 2020 election, and neither do you, but it would be truly refreshing if those dismissing the Twitter files, and let me tell you right now, there's plenty of people dismissing it. Ben Collins from NBC, all these blue check marks who have run with more fake news stories than I could list. I'd be here for 10 hours. But they're all dismissing Matt Taibbi as a hack, Barry Weiss as the worst person ever, and they're downplaying this. M for meh. So he says, if all these people who are dismissing the Twitter files would simply admit that they believe Donald Trump and Republicans in general are existential threats to democracy, and so journalistic ethics and free expression ideals need to be shelved for the greater good. It's an illiberal position, sure, but it's an honest one. And this is a theme that I come back to a lot on this show, which is if you convince yourself that it's not a matter of good idea, bad idea, but it's a matter of good versus evil, then you will really justify a lot of things. And they would be way better off, Democrats, admitting that. That they think that the ends justify the means, the stakes are too high, we should be able to suspend all the rules, all of the precedents, and do whatever we want. Because it's just that important. That's what this is really all about. And it's ridiculous that they can't just admit it, because we all see it at this point. 844-500-4242. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. I know that's an old cliche thing, but it's true. Sometimes the people who are the most dangerous are the people who think that they're, you know, doing something altruistic. I'm saving democracy. You know, I'm protecting us from dangerous rhetoric that could destroy the very fabric of our beings. So what's off the table if that's the case? If that's the goal, if that's the mission, what won't you do? Really nothing. And so it's not shocking that none of this is making them all that worried. None of this is waking them up, because they knew this was happening all along, just like we did. 844-500-4242. We will be back with more of your calls. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this, play a little bit more from Miranda Devine. We also will be discussing this with David Harsanyi. But another thing we're going to talk about with David is the case that the Supreme Court is hearing. I think it's called the 303 Creative case about the Colorado web designer. And I think this is important because I've been hearing a lot of hypotheticals thrown out by liberals about, you know, what's going to happen if people decide that they're not going to serve somebody a cup of coffee because of their race. And David kind of puts it in a way that he explains why this hypothetical actually doesn't hold up. I will let him explain it because it's a little bit complicated for me. We'll be right back with your calls. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We are talking about the Twitter files. We're going to talk about it with David Harsanyi in the next segment, and also about a case that is in front of the Supreme Court right now. But don't worry, if the Twitter files aren't really up your alley. Oh, this is our new sound effect. What do you guys think? Do you like it? Jared's like a composer here. He's got to come up with all these beautiful songs. Although we didn't create this, but I do like it.
Yes, I did not slave over the music sheets and the xylophone all day.
Next time. But yeah, so we are going to move on a little bit during the show and talk about other things. I do want to talk about the border. I'm still gobsmacked by the fact that Joe Biden actually said he has more important things to do when the man spends most of his day shaking hands with ghosts and eating ice cream. And with that,
it's all about round-the-clock sex.
Speaking of the Biden administration, now we were just talking about the misconfiguration with the text messages with Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, the lovebirds, as Trump was calling them. And I said to Howie, what's up with all these glitches? You know, these glitches, these whoopsie daisies, these misconfigurations, whatever you want to call them. And I've got another one for people. Millions were told student loan relief was approved in error. So the pajama-clad millennials who are all eagerly writing their reviews on Yelp about how great the application process was to get their student loan debt relieved, they might be changing their tune. They might be leaving one star soon because I guess they got emails on November 22nd and 23rd with the subject line that said their applications were approved when it was supposed to say their applications were received. I wonder if this is a situation like when a store tells you that something costs $4.99 and it actually costs $6.99, but it was their error, so they have to honor it. I'm a legal beagle over here. That could be a new business for us, Jared. Grace Curley, Esquire. All right, when we come back, David Harsanyi from The Federalist. You're not going to want to miss it.